Today on Comm Talk, we're talking about Dragon Ball Z.
Glix, what is going on?
We are receiving a signal from a new area on the planet Ikari.
All right, let's see what the planet has for us today.
Opening comms in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, Devoted Geeks, and welcome to Comm Talk, podcast extension of Geek Devotions, the show for Devoted Geeks who are devoted to let you know you're loved. I'm Dallas, and joining me for episode 179 of this podcast is my beautiful bride, Celeste.
Hello.
How are you, dear?
I'm good. Did you mean to cut the music that quickly?
It does. It's the natural fade on it.
Oh, the natural fade is just done.
Right, right.
Oh, my God. Gosh, that was fast.
No. So for those of you who don't know, we're reworking some stuff. We're using a software called Zencastr for recording. So we're actually in two separate rooms trying to get the best audio recording. So what you don't know, Celeste, is in the post edit, I normally had that fading off.
Oh.
And so it will fade off in the post edit. So people were like, what are you talking about, Celeste? It didn't do that. So, but anyways, ladies and gentlemen, I'm excited about today's episode because Celeste and I have begun a journey through anime history, if you will. Celeste and I, we picked up something the other day. Celeste, what did we get the other day?
We got the first three seasons of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
All on Blu-ray.
Pretty excited about that.
That is so, pretty exciting.
At the recording of this, we're a little after a week past the announcement that Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball Z, passed away. Yeah. And was feeling a bit nostalgic about it because I grew up watching Dragon Ball Z. And we this past episode of Geek Devotions was actually a rework of an old episode of Geek Devotions, which was an episode based off of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah.
And what's cool about it, though, is while I was prepping for it, I had another episode come up in my head, and our patrons have that right now. So if you'd like to hear that particular devotion that came out, go to geekdevotions.com, click our support page, and discover how you can become a devoted patron geek. That being said, we're going to, again, how do I put this, Celeste? This is not a new podcast.
No. This is not a new podcast. This is not going to be a frequent thing.
Yeah.
This is going to be us holding ourselves accountable because I've been trying to watch Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
Off and on, we have picked it up and put it down. And this is just our way of holding ourselves accountable to actually making it through it while also letting you in on the journey because I've never seen them. Now, I've seen some of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there's quite a few things that I just don't know.
Yeah. Well, while we're at it, let's lay out the groundwork for everybody. What is, Celeste, your experience with Dragon Ball? When was your first exposure to it? And how have you enjoyed it to this point, besides what we just did for the last couple of days?
I think my first exposure to it was a conversation you and I had about if we lived in a fantasy world or something to that effect. One of those conversations that it was like, hey, we're getting to know each other because I think you're cute type conversations. And you were like, well, I'd want to have a tail.
I forgot about this conversation.
And I was like, what the crap? Like a tail?
Yeah, I want a tail.
And I was like, Do you mean like a lizard tail? And you go, no, I want a monkey tail. And I was like, it would be furry. Like, why? And you're like, well, one of my favorite anime characters had a tail. And I was like, okay, I get that. But still, weird flex, but okay.
Weird flex. I forgot about that whole conversation.
Well, to be fair, that was 14 years ago.
It was. It was a hot minute ago.
We've been together for just over 13 years.
Was that the same conversation as the kangaroo TSA agents?
Possibly. Possibly because that was a weird, weird night.
That was a weird night. Oh, that's
and
funny.
Now everybody else is going to be going, what? And yep. We're like, nope, that's just ours.
All right. So your first exposure was me saying I wanted to tell.
Yeah. I had no idea. I think that I maybe at one point in that, like shortly after that, was like, which anime? Because I was still very new to anime at that point.
Yeah.
I had only watched some of Rurouni Kenshin.
Mm-hmm.
And Cardcaptor Sakura.
Right.
I was a baby weeb.
You were. You were getting there. You were getting there.
Didn't even know how much I was missing.
Right. So, all right. So that was your first exposure to it. My first exposure to Dragon Ball was roughly 1998, living in Missouri. And the TV that Damara and I had in our little, we had a playroom where we got to play games and stuff and play with our toys. We had a TV in there. And if I adjusted the bunny ears just right, I got this weird channel. I don't know what this channel was. I think it was out of Chicago. I don't know. But it got Dragon Ball Z and Gatchaman and a couple other things. Captain Simeon. Oh, my goodness. I'm having flashbacks. What Captain Simeon. It was a show about space monkeys.
That was American.
Yeah, it was. But yeah, so we had, I had adjusted bunny ears just right, and I could watch in a very grainy black and white shot of Dragon Ball Z. But I just realized I'm remembering this wrong. That wasn't my first exposure, because what caught my attention was the character designs reminded me of a cartoon that I would catch randomly when I would go to visit my grandparents in Tulsa. And that was Dragon Ball. I didn't know that was Dragon Ball at the time, but it was Dragon Ball. And so I've grown up with Dragon Ball quite a while. I mean, since the early 90s on up. So, but I didn't really start watching Dragon Ball until probably 99 when I first moved to Shreveport. And started really, it just so happened Toonami was kicking it off. And I watched from the beginning all the way up through most of the Buu saga, I think. I started getting because our bus schedule is kind of weird. I didn't get to watch the entire Buu saga. But so how much have you watched, Celeste?
So of Dragon Ball, I am just after the Penguin Island. Then for Z, Goku has made it off Snake Way to see, I don't remember his name. Who's the guy he's King going Kai? To see right now? King Kai. He's just made it off Snake Way to go see King Kai, and he feeds him. King Kai feeds Goku, and and King Kai goes, what? Because Goku eats a lot.
Yeah, he does. He does a lot.
I don't remember what's happening on Earth. Not a clue. I know where I am with Goku, because they saved so much money on animation with just having him be on Snake Way for so many episodes. Just running. Like, I remember making that joke of, he's just running. Like, this is how they saved on
animation.
Is they just reused it.
I'm gonna run, guys. I love it. All right, so we have groundwork. We know how much we've seen and where we kind of got our exposure to it. And again, we're kind of taking this as, we're gonna update you guys as we go through the individual Blu-rays. So it looks like each Blu-ray is about 10 episodes each.
So about every 10 episodes.
Right. We'll pop in and do another thing. Again, this isn't a separate podcast. This is as into the feed as possible. Now, if we suddenly get I'll say if we get $150 worth of Patreon money on a regular basis, we will make this into a brand new podcast. But we're not. Oh my gosh. But I'm excited about this. My expectations for this is to have a lot of nostalgia feelings and enjoy the ride. What are your expectations, Liz?
I just expect to understand so many different jokes that I haven't understood. Mm. Because Dragon Ball is such a part of culture mm-hmm. and such a part of anime culture. Mm-hmm. And there's things I just don't get. And I'm sure there's jokes and things that I'm like, oh yeah, that's funny. But I have no idea it came from Dragon Ball.
Right.
Because there's always that. There's something. Oh, we just... Is the Lady Hawk episode out on the feeds yet?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the bottom shelf, we watched Lady Hawk, which is Branson's absolute favorite movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching it going, I understand Branson so much better now. That's what I'm expecting is to go, I understand things better now. Because again, Dragon Ball is such a huge part of everything. So as the recording of this, Toriyama passed away like a week ago, mm-hmm. like we said earlier, and someone took quotes from other manga artists and put them on really interesting graphics for the animes and mangas that those artists are most well known for. And right. basically the majority of them said something to the effect of, if he had not created Dragon Ball, then there would be no... insert anime here. And we're right. talking like One Piece, Black Clover, Jujutsu Kaisen, mm-hmm. Demon Slayer. Like the big ones
yeah,
are all inspired because of that. So even in other animes, there might be things that are references and homage to that I just haven't caught.
Yeah, he was definitely influential in a lot of ways. And you bring up a great point. I think going through this, even myself, I'm going to be like, man, they, not that they robbed this, but he inspired this anime. He inspired that show. There was a lesson to episode of Anime Relatable, which is a, really, really good YouTube channel. If you guys want to check out, Duke does some kind of similar to what we do with Geek Devotions, where we take, geek culture and use it to present the gospel, present hope and everything like that. But he was talking mm-hmm. about Toriyama, and he said that, you know, the influence of Toriyama, like there's so many rappers right now that they talk about going Super Saiyan and all these other things. And it's, this guy inspired so much.
Yeah. So. There's definitely a lot of cultural influence. And so I'm expecting to understand.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Just cause again, it's not something I'm terribly familiar with. So it's not something I'm going to understand
right.
all the time.
Exactly. All right. Cool beans. Well, you guys have heard our expectations about this journey we're taking. You guys have heard about our history, our background with Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. The question becomes, what did Celeste and I think about the first 10 episodes? Because we've already watched the first 10 episodes. We finished the first disc. And so we are going to kind of give our spoil-filled thoughts on the first 10 episodes of Dragon Ball Z after this message.
Crikey, looky there! It's a rare Tarkophibian! You rarely see such a... Oh, did you see that? A Cracking Glitz Kaiju just chowed down that taco!
But what does that even mean?
It means that when you're done listening to Calm Talk, check out the Retro Rewind podcast!
Oh, okay.
This podcast is a proud member of Culture Box. Whether you enjoy geeky reviews, comedy, or original fiction, you can open up the Culture Box and find something excellent for your soul. Point your web browser to culturebox.media.
Definitely go check out whoever Dallas decides to throw into the... Don't do it. Dallas is holding a rubber chicken up to the mic. I can explain.
You gonna finish your sentence?
I'm scared you're gonna squeak it into the recording. Go check out the whoever we supported. They're part of the Culture Box, and we really, really enjoy them. They're probably good friends of ours. Dallas is legitimately holding me hostage with a chicken right now because I can't think of anything else except for the fact that he's got a chicken. Do you want to know why the chicken's in there?
Why is a chicken in here?
I was talking with Ben Avery while we were waiting to record. Mm-hmm. I was talking to Squid while we were waiting for Ben. And because we were recording Playing Games with Strangers. And so we were talking about the fact that he was doing a kids event for fourth and fifth graders that was nachos and Nerf guns, which sounds like a fantastic idea. I think we need to figure out how to work that. And so distracting. And so I was trying to tell her about the chicken night we did for Thanksgiving. I can't focus when you do that. And you know it. You're doing it on purpose.
And so I'm curious how this is going to come out in the podcast feed.
Right? I brought it in there, and I legitimately, we weren't recording, but I did squeak it and scared the snot out of Amanda, who hadn't been there for the first conversation, about the chicken. It's your nose. It looks like your nose is like just hanging over the bike.
Oh my gosh. All right. So go support our friends that we put in the description. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the portion of the show where we talk about the first 10 episodes of Dragon Ball Z. And this is actually quite a bit. We're not going to do like what we do for like the Gundam watch where we talk about each individual show episode. We're just going to kind of generally talk about what we've seen and what we liked and what we didn't like and all that kind of stuff. So, Celeste, are you ready?
I am ready.
I'm glad to hear it. So,
I wasn't looking at the screen, so I wasn't expecting that. I don't want to have to edit that audio.
Nobody expects the rubber chicken. All right. So, anyways, oh my gosh. So, Dragon Ball Z, it starts off back in 1989. That's when this first aired. And now, what we're watching is remastered, redubbed, all that good stuff. So, it's a little bit different. But I'm going to start off by saying this just art wise, Celeste, you could, especially this first suit. Cause I've had the privilege to watch Dragon Ball for so long. Mm-hmm. I've watched the animation change over the years, but, you can tell this is definitely an 80s style, not just animation, but storytelling. It's very much
has that feel of some of the other animes or cartoons we've watched from the 80s. Mm-hmm. Or even anime, because like it feels like there's no one sparkling and spinning, but it feels like Sailor Moon.
I can see that, which is interesting. Like honestly, while we've been watching it, it makes me want to watch Sailor Moon because it was back to back. It was this mm-hmm. and then Sailor Moon, and then it was like Gundam Wing or something like that. So,
right.
But the animation style was very much 80s. But what I appreciate about this, the storytelling in this one. Is it feels like a continuation of Dragon Ball. Like that's, this is a continuation of Dragon Ball, obviously, but the storytelling in like later seasons, mm-hmm. the way they do it, it changes. And you're going to discover that as we go on into the franchise. But like, cause you and I just watched a couple episodes of original Dragon Ball mm-hmm. probably a month ago.
Yeah.
And it feels like it's just a continuation of that. And I appreciate that storytelling aspect. Toriyama didn't change much, and I think that early fans of this franchise of Dragon Ball Z, that when they jumped into it, they're like, oh yeah, this is my Dragon Ball, just mm-hmm. everyone's a little older and there's some new adventures going on.
Yeah, absolutely. And they even reference things. There's legitimately things that I just don't understand what's happening because it's not something I've seen. Like the last time I saw Goku, he was a child still.
Right.
So seeing him as an adult is weird. But I know that by the end of Dragon Ball, he was an adult.
Yeah, definitely. I'll say that's... How do I put this? I really wish that I can get my hands on the Blu-rays of Dragon Ball Z Kai. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure how much they did. And of course, you can buy them. I just looked up on Google. It looks like they did the whole thing, possibly. But the great thing about Kai was that they took out the filler episodes, which we haven't hit yet, thankfully.
Mm-hmm. And which we're going to skip, right?
We will cross that bridge when we get there.
If we end up in another Zanpakuto arc, I'm walking away.
That's fair.
Because that was fair. Not, it had nothing to do with the story.
But it was interesting.
It was interesting. At least it was interesting. But there were arcs that we were like, this is boring.
Yeah, that's
true.
And
we still watched it.
And so let's talk about what do you call that? Bleach series.
Bleach.
But in Dragon Ball Z Kai, this is one thing I really appreciate about what they did, especially in the first couple episodes. And I only know this because I watched them when they aired on WB 100 years ago. Is it's they rezzed up the animation, remastered everything, mm-hmm. newer voice acting, but they spliced in segments of the original Dragon Ball so you understood things a little better. Because, again, a lot of people, they're not going to go back and watch the original Dragon Ball. To be honest, original Dragon Ball is a little hard to watch nowadays.
It is a little hard.
But they explain a whole lot, like where Piccolo comes from. The fact that Piccolo is like literally like the birth. Like he's only like 5 years old because the original King Piccolo like vomited him out as an egg, and like you don't understand how Piccolo and King Kami are linked together, like what they talk about in this whole thing, but they are.
I know because you told me.
Right, and so if you are new to things, it could be difficult, but at the same time. Even though you're missing information, I feel like it's easy to follow because I didn't have all that information when I first watched it.
It's not hard to follow, but then again, it's not a terribly difficult story.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not knocking it, but it's not something that takes forever to understand what's happening.
Yeah, definitely.
It's just, it's not like walking in the middle of the creator where half the time you didn't understand what was going on even if you watched the whole movie. Like,
right.
Or what's the one that we made Cassie watch? Inception. It's not like Inception. Oh, yeah. So
definitely. Well, let's break down some stuff. Let's handle the first portion of this, which is now Season 1 is called the Saiyan Saga, but the first portion of the first few episodes, I call it the Raditz Saga, because we discover the history of Goku, mm-hmm. which is that he's a alien from the planet Vegeta, and his big brother, Raditz, shows up, and he's like, what are you doing, Goku? Why haven't you wiped away the planet? Because apparently Goku was sent to Earth.
Kakarot.
Kakarot, that's right. He keeps calling him Kakarot. Kakarot was sent to Earth to wipe it out for basically these slumlords, I guess is what you would call them.
Yeah.
Space slumlords. And
when people come in and like kick out the current tenants of some place and make it livable for like apartments and city type businesses.
I don't remember. There's a word for it, but I can't remember. That's what's taking place. We discovered all that history. So let me ask you this. I know you've watched Dragon Ball Z, but coming off the back end of Dragon Ball, what was that like for you discovering that revelation that Goku is suddenly an alien? Because for me, he's always been an alien.
I knew he was an alien.
Yeah.
And I don't know why.
Probably because I said something. Alien. And the tale's a good giveaway.
To be fair, we're talking about a world where there's a walking, talking, clothed pig and a floating cat.
Yes. Oh, and
what's poor? Like,
he's a cat. Poor old cat. But also there's like a, what was it like, there's also like talking foxes that are humanoid.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
and
like,
then lizard people. And there's dinosaurs.
so like, this is not, the tail is not a really that big of a deal.
So you're saying I can have a tail?
No.
You said it's not a big deal.
Okay, this isn't a conversation that does not need to happen on the podcast.
That's fair. That's fair. So, but anyways, Raditz shows up, and then we get this team up of Goku and Piccolo, who again is the bad guy of bad guys, and of the franchise. And they have this pretty, I mean, it's quick. Like I could tell, like this early writing was like, all right, we gotta get people pulled in and sell the show immediately. At least that's the way it came off to me. But I thought it was a good fight.
Yeah. Like the fights in Dragon Ball in general are good, mm-hmm. really good.
Yeah. So, what would you think about that first arc with Raditz?
I just kept laughing every time it replayed the words, "You barely singed a hair on my leg," because I'm like, dude, you wax. Clearly, there is no hair there.
Oh my gosh. Raditz was
it's all on your head.
Right? So much hair on his head.
So much hair.
But I think they did a great job of establishing him as a really difficult character and setting up the world for you to go, wait, there's bigger guys?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
So, what did you think about them playing with Gohan, with the potentiality of him?
The potential. I think it's funny. You made a comment that that he was basically Zenitsu from Demon Slayer because he doesn't understand his power. He doesn't get it. He doesn't.
For the non-Demon Slayer fans out there, Zenitsu is a character who in Demon Slayer is super powerful, but he's only powerful when he's asleep. Because
he's only powerful when he has taken away his inhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
Basically when he's asleep, but he's been knocked out a couple times, which is different from sleeping.
Yeah.
And things happen.
So with Gohan though, it's like he just kind of goes into this blind rage. Like he forgets, like his emotions overwhelm so much that Raditz said he was scared. Like Raditz was genuinely scared of Gohan when he popped out of the pod.
I mean, I'm not in the world, and I was kind of scared of Gohan when he popped out of that thing.
I mean, he just bum rushes him, and I mean, just all the adrenaline. His power level was well above what anything Raditz had ever seen, and just like with a headbutt, blows apart his armor, and then like permanently cripples him. Like his power level just drops himself because of that headbutt. Like it's intense what Gohan has the potential of doing.
But doesn't realize he has the potential.
Right. So what'd you think of the big sacrifice at the end of that story arc?
The first time I watched it, I was very confused because I'm like, I know, like Super was about to start the first time I watched it. So I'm like, they're about to start another series. So I know he's alive. This time it was, I don't know. I think because I knew what was going to happen, I was just like, okay, let's go.
Right. That makes sense. All right, cool beans. So we finished that story arc with the Raditz, and we get the big reveal that there are two other Saiyans that are on their way, Nappa and Vegeta. Mm-hmm. There's a weird little thing, and those of you in listener land, maybe if you know this answer, when you first see Vegeta, his costuming is very strange. Like, it's this weird coloring. And it's always confused me because I feel like I've seen screenshots of, like, manga issues where it's the same coloring. But once he lands on Earth, it's a completely different color set. Now, first I thought, well, maybe, and you even said this, Liz, so you're like, well, maybe it's the lighting on the planet. But Nappa's doesn't change.
Yeah.
So, I'm just very confused about that, and I'd be curious to see if anybody has any answers to why that coloring was so different from the first to the second.
Because we would like answers, please.
Right. So anyways, so that's taking place. Goku disappears and is sent to the other world where it's set up for him to train with King Kai. But he has to run down Snake Way, which is a big, long run.
Yep.
And then Piccolo kidnaps Gohan. And he's like, I'm going to man you up. Like that's the whole thing.
Let's get down to business.
So let's talk about that whole thing with Gohan for a second. He's kidnapped Gohan. He drops him off. And day one, it's a disaster of all sorts. But like,
well, he takes a child. And
this
like,
is true.
Okay, survive. Bye.
A 4.5-year-old child.
Yeah, 4.5. And yeah. He's like, you got this. No, he doesn't.
This raises some interesting questions about the independence of a child, what they can and can't do.
This raises
genuinely.
Some questions about the parenting skills of Piccolo.
Piccolo's 5 years old. Deal with that. But anyways.
Oh, my gosh.
But here's the interesting thing, because I saw an interesting show talking about this. The way that we treat children here in the States versus what takes place overseas. Yes. Not saying that overseas is better than us, but there are some interesting aspects about the independent mentality of children versus here. Like the particular show I was watching, it's not uncommon to see kids on the trans system by themselves traveling to school at age 5.
And like, part of me is like, well, good for them. They have the ability to do that. But another part of me is going, we live in a world where human trafficking is a thing. Like, yeah. It's not so much they might fall down and get hurt. It's there's bad people in the world.
Right.
And they are too small to have defense against that.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this world, there's big bad things in the world. And like, I feel like that it could have been done in a better way, because the whole, for the first, 10 episodes, the whole training that Piccolo's giving him is he's just making him survive.
Yeah.
Like, and I get that is something he did not know how to do, but I feel like that there is a better way to do it. This is the equivalent of older pastors having a young pastor or a young person come in and serve, and they go, okay, here you go. And there's a room full of 15 screaming kids.
Right, right.
You're the kids pastor now. Have fun.
Yeah.
Like, we know that there is a better way to do this. So I'm not saying don't make the kid buck up.
Right.
I'm just saying that you could have done it a little better.
I'm not advocating saying that this is the what we need to do. And from now on, parents, you need to grab your children and just
throw them
in the middle
wild.
Of nowhere. Good luck, little Johnny.
You're 4.5. Have fun or take the Pokemon approach. You're 10. Good luck in the world.
I'm not saying that at all. But what I am pointing out is it's interesting that and this is what I liked. Piccolo didn't leave at first.
Yeah, that's true.
Like he backed up, he showed some distance, and he says, all right, we'll see what you can do. And he helped out a few times. You know, he gave the kid some apples, he gave him some new clothes and a sword and all this other stuff. Once he thought, and again, we gotta remember this is a fantasy realm. This isn't real people. Please don't take your right. parenting advice from cartoon
God,
characters
no.
that are green. So but
and can regrow arms.
Yeah.
What?
But it does present some interesting aspects that I do appreciate, and that is that we do live in a world where we're over pampering children. And there is a level of pushing a kid to go, hey, you can do this. You don't have to freak out about the situation. You and I have both seen kids who grew in that.
Yes.
Who went, okay, we can do this. And
go ahead.
Well, again, it's like I was saying that we're not advocating just leave kids alone and just go with it. But you have to give them opportunity to do right, to grow. You have to give them the opportunity to fail and to learn from that failure and to move forward with that. And Piccolo, again, he's crash coursing this kid. Again, we're not saying this is inappropriate. This is a four-year-old, guys. This is a stupid. Don't do that to your kid. But he did go, boom. And this is so much different. You got to remember, Piccolo is a bad guy. Like, yeah. He is an evil individual. All right. But what's interesting about this, and we see that later, Kame, he goes, there's something different about Piccolo. Like, I sense his evil heart, but he's not doing what he normally would do. And he's chalking up for the idea that, well, he must know he's about to die. He's just trying to pass off something. But there is a change taking place in the heart of Piccolo. And again, people talk about, like, there's no character. It's just, everybody's just yelling in Dragon Ball. It's stupid. They do not see the character progressions that fans have seen.
Yeah.
The change in these individuals. Piccolo was a terrible individual, especially in Dragon Ball. And they carried over this tradition of it. But here we have this heart change beginning to take place where he's like, all right, kid.
So circling back just a little bit, because we said we were just going to be talking about all of this, not any one specific thing, but circling back a little bit to when Goku and Piccolo are fighting Raditz. Mm-hmm. They're a little bit of ways and they're trying to plot some things and get some things going, and they're laughing mm-hmm. at each other. Like, they fully intend to go at it later.
Yeah.
But they're laughing and it's driving Raditz nuts.
Yeah.
Because he's like, they're laughing? Like, I'm more powerful than these guys by a lot. And they're laughing. And right. So it was just kind of funny to me seeing that they're like, we're enemies, but at the moment we're gonna work together and kinda giggle about all this.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if giggle's the right word, but you know what I mean.
So the end of this first disc, it kind of wraps up a portion of the arc taking place. Gohan's starting to get to the point where he's a little bit more independent-ish. He's a little more determined. After suffering some heartbreak, you know, mm-hmm. he finally makes a friend in the wilderness and he gets eaten. He finds a robot and the robot dies. And so Gohan's being faced with harsh realities and having to deal with those realities. And that's a difficult thing to do. There's a lot of people today who don't want to face these hard realities of death and mortality. But it's good for us. Because we grow. Not saying that you become callous, because some people become callous, but you grow from it. And this is what I think Piccolo is doing. Back to the Piccolo conversation.
Yeah.
Piccolo had this great line, and it was, you'll laugh at your fears once you find out who you really are. He says that to Gohan, and I love that line because he sees something in Gohan that's great. He sees this power. It's not just this raw strength, but he knows the warrior that's inside Gohan that could be there. And he goes, right now, as a kid, you don't understand what you can do. And mm-hmm. right now, you're just scared of everything because you don't understand. But once you understand what you can do, we can overcome things. And I don't know why I'm sticking on this point because it's been something in my spirit for a while, but it's just the whole, like, we're allowing kids to be scared. We're allowing our children to be afraid of things when they don't realize that they are so much bigger than the things that they're looking at. They don't have to be scared of it.
I think that it comes from a place of you naturally want to help kids through things. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of what we do.
Right.
And it's a... You and I can have a tendency to be able to look into a kid's life, a child, a teenager, and we can go, you know, there's more there. Like, we God has given us the discernment to be able to go, you know, this is going to be a thing. Like, great example, we had a student who, when we were talking, we were teaching them about, what was it, Europe? Somewhere you're in Europe, mm-hmm. Where there's a heavy human trafficking thing going on. And we're talking about it. And, like, we're teaching them so they can teach the kids in the kids' church.
We're not teaching them about human trafficking, but for the teenagers, we're explaining the bigger picture of things.
Well, and that's what I was about to say, is that we were teaching them about the country. I said that badly. We were teaching them about the country so that they can teach the children about the country. But then we are letting them know, because they are more mature and more able to handle things, about some of the other stuff that's going on, so that they know how to appropriately pray for other countries and for other nationalities of people, and kind of understand some of the stuff that we're giving them to give to the kids. Now, are we going to let them share this in kids' church? No. You know, the 3-year-old, 4-year-old doesn't need to know about all this.
Right.
But our 13, 14-year-olds do. And so all of that to say, there was a girl who they all were intent about it. Mm-hmm. But I told you afterwards, I was like, this one has a heart for that.
Mm-hmm.
You could see it in her face. You could just tell. Now, I don't know if anything's going to come of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that when that subject gets brought up, mm-hmm. I'm going to be keeping an eye on her to make sure she's okay.
Right.
To make sure she's processing appropriately. Mm-hmm. And if she wants to do something with it as she gets older, connect her with people I trust.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, and again, that's just being responsible about things. But
yeah.
You're teaching them not to be afraid of life and help them to walk through that, how to become stronger, to deal with things, because we have to become stronger. And that's part of the whole thing about Dragon Ball. There's always this progression to get bigger, to get stronger, not just for the grins of it, because there's this understanding of we need to be continuing to get better, to be improving. In the world of Dragon Ball, it's the craft of fighting, of being mm-hmm. warriors. And there's always another thing behind the corners. In reality, it's growing in our compassion for people. It's growing in our ability to take care of things. It's growing in our ability to, in our understanding of the world, in our education, in our workplaces. There's always this push that we need to get better, because there's always something that's going to come up. And if we're not prepared, we can't help other people in one fashion or another.
Right. Well, and like, it's partially, I can kind of understand some of Piccolo's actions. Again, not saying do not use Piccolo as your example for fatherhood, but there is a sense of he's gonna have to deal with this.
Yeah.
So he needs to learn how to deal with smaller things first. And that's important.
Right. 100%. So, all right. Well, this went down an interesting path. So, any final thoughts on these first 10 episodes of Dragon Ball Z, babe?
How often does Piccolo's arm just pop off and then he grow it back?
I'm not sure. I don't remember how often he loses limbs.
What?
I do know that in future episodes, you're going to see something very interesting. So, there's a scene where Kami talks about Piccolo or Kami, one or the other, dying.
Yeah.
Which means the other one dies. It's interesting, and you're going to see some weird stuff.
You know, I'm not surprised.
Oh my gosh. All right.
Go ahead. Huh? You're fine.
That's all right. So, Celeste, what are your expectations for going into the next 10 episodes?
A lot of Goku running.
A lot of Goku running.
Well, that's because
a great way of putting that.
We've watched about 20 episodes in.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it felt like that, but that's kind of my thing. I don't want to. I'm in the mode of watching it right now, so I don't want to. I don't want to fall off and not watch it.
Right.
But it's, I don't know. I'm like, is this going to be a thing? Like, are we going to watch a lot of this? Is it going to fall to the wayside like everything else does? Well, because we've tried to watch a lot of things.
We have.
We started Hunter Hunter.
We did.
We haven't watched Hunter Hunter in months.
It's a true story.
So.
We'll find out.
Just
next time.
On Geek Devotions.
That's funny. All right, Celeste. Well. Guys, we want to hear from you guys. If you're taking this journey with us and you haven't watched the first 10 episodes recently, let us know your thoughts on those first 10 episodes. Reach out to us on all our social media platforms. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just look for Geek Devotions. We're also on, well, not Twitter, X, but we're on Threads. Is anybody on Threads? Does anybody do anything on Threads? And then, you know, as long as the government keeps it open, we're on TikTok too. That's the thing.
That's going to date this episode for somebody.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. So, all right, Celeste. You want to land the plane, babe?
Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to Comm Talk today. If you have loved this episode, head on over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify to rate and leave a review. It is very much appreciated. So until next time, stay devoted.
Peace and love.